When begins the eternal learning curve? The more you know, the more you realize you have more to learn.
At the end of the day, you can be as good as gold, but if you don't have passion for wine, no matter how good you are, it isn't going to work.
And Mother Nature is your partner all the way until it's done.
Whereas the U.S., you go into a big grocery store and you have 2,000 different glass bottles full of wine.
My father told me, never work for money. Work to accomplish something. Making money is the result of doing something right.
The bottom line is, it's all about the soil.
Well, the results are really the benefit of our doing our homework.
What makes winemaking so interesting and fascinating is that every single year it's been different.
There was definitely a sense that we were all sort of in a pioneering endeavor. It was fun.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 113. This week we feature another visit with Sam Baxter of Terra Valentine. Always changes going on in Napa Valley, in this case, Spring Mountain, at Terra Valentine. And making those changes is Sam Baxter. We first interviewed Sam in 2009, and since then we happily seem to run into him on a regular basis at most Napa Valley events. Sam is one of the next generation of winemakers in the valley. We sat down with Sam again, this time to talk about the changes going on at Terra Valentine.
I love drinking beer. To me, it's like at the end of the day, after I've been, you know, off and on, you know, tasting or blending or whatever, to have a cold beer.
That's kind of the old fix-a-lot beer.
I know, it's so cliche, but it's true. I mean, it's a great palate cleanser.
You're right. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, as a winemaker, hearing you say that, I never thought about it, but it does cleanse your palate, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I love drinking wine with food afterwards. So, but I need that, like, that
in between.
Yeah. There's a book that just came out, the like 50 winemakers of the Napa Valley. I don't know if you saw that, but one of the questions was, you know, what do people not know about winemakers, and or what might surprise people? And I said, you know, our propensity to drink beer. I mean, people think we're kind of wine geeks, but I'm not really a wine geek.
Really?
No, I'm really not.
I didn't know that. I mean, considering your dad, I would just automatically assume you would be.
Yeah, I mean, I love wine, and I love wine growing, the whole process of it, but I'm not a sommelier. I mean, I'm not going to pick out a 69 Lafite out of a lineup. That's not my skill set.
It's your more the farmer-scientist side.
Yeah, the farmer-artist side. I mean, growing the grapes, making the wine, and enjoying it, and certainly trying to shape a wine for a certain purpose. But as far as the, you know, analyzing the finished product from the perspective of a somm, or, you know, it's not really ever been my interest.
Huh. I guess I never really got into that question with winemakers. It's certainly a good one for the future, because you don't think about that. But I think, too, that times I've gone out to dinner with winemakers, 9 times out of 10, we end up drinking beer, because it's, or a cocktail.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, for me, it's always been about the meal. And when I'm eating a meal, sharing a meal with people, I mean, you know, I really don't want to drink anything but wine. And throughout the meal, and I enjoy that interactive character talking about the wine and the food and just enjoying that process. Outside of that, you know, it can get to where I'd rather, you know, drink a beer or cocktail and talk about something else.
We are here with our friend Sam Baxter of Terra Valentine Winery up on Spring Mountain. And good to sit down and talk with you again.
Same, Ray. It's really enjoy seeing you over the years, and it's great to be back.
It's very kind of you. There's been some changes, and fairly recent changes with the winery. So I guess first thing you can do is update me on what's going on.
Absolutely. So, you know, Angus and Margaret Wirtle, who founded Terra Valentine back in the mid-90s, decided, you know, in the last year or so that they were ready to kind of work on their exit strategy. And so, you know, I worked with them very closely over the last year and a half to look at, you know, the various options. And essentially, the Everdon Winery and Estate, they purchased that property in 99, and we developed it from really a rough property into, you know, world-class estate. And so they decided that was the right property for them to sell. You know, we were fortunate that we found Jackson Family Wines, and they were looking for a home for the La Coya brand. And so that closed on December 20th of 2013. We then kept the Terra Valentine company intact and are moving out of that facility. And the Wordle, Angus Margaret Wordle, are holding on to the Wordle Vineyard, which is lower down on Spring Mountain, about halfway up. And that was sort of their original vineyard that they purchased and where they have their residence. So they're holding on to that vineyard, and we'll still source fruit from that property. And but they're able to step back out of the business. Angus turns 80 this year, and it was just the right time for him.
Not that 80's old, because it's not these days. There's a lot of 80-year-olds that are really with the game.
Yeah, you know, the Wordles are just looking to, you know, he had a good run in the wine industry. It was never something that I think he got into seen as a generational commitment. It was really something he wanted to do, and he enjoyed it. We built a very successful wine company and developed a great piece of real estate and had a lot of fun together. And it's just the right time for them to exit the business and for me to carry on the legacy of Terra Valentine.
That's the best part, though, is having fun. I mean, isn't that kind of what you want?
I don't see any other reason to do what we do. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of risk. It's farming. And if you can make farming fun and make a great product like wine out of it, it's really a win-win situation.
Well, and you guys have done a great job in the past. I mean, I'm certainly a fan of your wines. I have some in my cellar, some interesting vintages, I might add. Nothing special, but special to me. And it's, you know, it's nice to see what you've done. So now you've got this new challenge. Is the label going to change then for sure? Or is there going to be a new name? Or?
Well, essentially, it's my plan is to expand on what we've been doing with the Terra Valentine brand. And it's something that, you know, I've been a part of since day one. You know, it's very important to me, and I'm very excited about the opportunity to take that brand and you know, make it my own and shape it, you know, into something that's really personal. But I do feel like there's, you know, as a wine company now that's you know, under my leadership, I do have other projects, and I think there's some opportunity for other brands and products that we could expand upon, you know, the Terra Valentine brand and bring in some new stuff.
And what's your official title going to be? Because I don't think I actually heard you say that.
Well, I don't really have an official title right now. Essentially, it's going to become proprietor. And that's, I guess, that's a pretty lofty term. And it's a lot of responsibility. And that's good enough for me. I've never been a title guy. That's about sums it up.
So do you see this being, I would think logically from my point of view as an outsider, that this is going to put a lot more demands on your time?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's a different demand on my time. Terra Valentine, prior to this year, I was overseeing vineyard management on 65 acres of mountain vineyards, half of which we were farming in-house with the crew that I directed. You know, we had a 20,000 case production facility. We had a 7 days a week hospitality facility. We had a guest house, which we saw people coming through on a weekly basis. It was a massive amount of management time and overhead, and moving out of that model and more into kind of to a certain extent a virtual winery model, at least temporarily, it's a lot less management time. I mean, going from 14 employees down to one, and outsourcing a lot of that, and it's actually going to free up a lot of my time to focus more on the winemaking and the business development, the relationship side that I, you know, didn't have enough time to focus on before.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess it would be kind of hard with everything else going on in your life. Will there be a tasting room eventually, or?
Yeah, so we have an office and a smaller kind of tasting lounge and outdoor area on the North Fork of Crystal Springs Road, just off of the Silverado Trail, just north of St. Helena. A winery called Cook Winery, which is an old family friend of ours, and they have this great little space that we were able to utilize. And it's kind of a temporary home. It'll be probably a year, maybe two, that will be there, you know, maybe longer, but that's sort of the plan. And so we'll have a spot where people can come visit, our club members or customers. We have a big table barbecue where we can just hang out, overlooks the vineyard, and it's not a bad spot. You know, very different than the grand castle on the mountain, but it's a little more personal. Again, it's going to be kind of by invitation only. You know, if it's a place where I'm going to sit and host people, my wife Angela is going to get involved and be able to come. And we really want to take what we've been doing and personalize it now with our passion, ourselves, really put it out there.
That's interesting, having your wife involved, because she's never really, has she really been involved in any way in the past?
No, I mean, essentially I was just, I was working for the Wirtles, and I mean, she's always been a great support, and she's got a great palate. I mean, every wine I bottle, I bring home and try with her before we bottle it. She's got a great palate, and she's very involved, but she's, the last 8 years, she's been a stay-at-home mom, so it'll be fun, and now that it's something that's ours, we can now... It's very personal, so it's a good time for her to become involved.
You're talking about the idea of her palate, and I think maybe we've talked about this idea in the past, women potentially having more receptors, maybe a little more of a sensitive palate. Does she ever point something out to you that you're kind of like, oh, I didn't see that, or I didn't notice that? I mean, does that ever happen?
Probably every time she tries it.
Really?
A wine, she points out something that is good feedback. Sometimes it's something that I maybe was already aware of, a positive aspect that she can, confirms that it's really there. And sometimes it's like, oh, really? This is what wine? Really? And then I get that, butterfly in the stomach, oh, crap. Because, I mean, she does have a great palate, and I respect it a lot, and I don't pretend to have all the answers. So there have been those moments where I brought a wine hoping that she likes it, but knowing that maybe she, she might find that flaw that maybe I really don't want to admit that's there. And she has no qualms about pointing that out.
That's what I like about you. I guess that's sort of synonymous with a lot of winemakers. You guys are really honest. You have to be.
You have to be honest. I mean, it doesn't do any good to try to make wine under some pretense that's false. I mean, it's not what I want to do. I mean, life is way too short for that.
Would you classify your wife as maybe more of a wine geek then? She sounds that way to me.
No, but she's got a great palate. I mean, she would, if you asked her, she might say that she thinks she has a better palate than I do, because that's just how she rolls. But I think I have a broader depth of wine knowledge, but she does have a very good palate. But again, neither of us are wine geeks. I mean, we don't drink extravagant wines on a regular basis. We drink wines that we want, that we enjoy, that are high quality, that are not outrageously expensive, that pair for with the food, the meal, and our mood.
I don't think a lot of people, even in the business, from people I've talked to, are drinking $50 bottles of wine a night. I don't think there's a ton of I'm sure there is in some corners of the business, but generally, a lot of you are very normal, everyday people.
Well, yeah, and we're really fortunate that we don't have to buy most of the wines we're drinking. I mean, we sort of end up with very good wines on the back porch stacked in cases, and we just grab out of it and drink it.
Where do you live again?
So, when we go out to buy wine, I'm actually kind of a cheapskate.
Really?
I like to find really killer wines that cost under 20 bucks.
I'd love to know what you buy under 20 bucks that's good.
Yeah, no, and these aren't wines that are that are amazing, and they're not necessarily that fulfilling to drink. But the Barbera d'Asti's, Northern Italian Reds. I mean, I'm telling you, you can get some really killer wines. Barbera d'Alba. I mean, that whole area. I think it's sometimes you just want a refreshing red wine, and those deliver, and they're cheap as hell. They really are. I mean, you can get great ones for 60 bucks too, but.
Sometimes it's just a little more trial and error that maybe people aren't always willing to put into it, you think?
Yeah, I think, and to a certain extent, it's what I enjoy about it is going to, a retailer. I tend to buy a lot of wine either online or at Costco, and it's go in and just say, hey, let's grab 4 or 5 bottles that seem interesting and have some fun with it. And they don't always have to be great for me to be satisfied.
So you're not a wine snob, obviously, because of what you've said already. I mean, if anything, you are as comparable to the average person on the street.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to call you normal, sorry.
No, I mean, I'm not normal, that's for sure. But I do understand that what the average wine consumer is looking for and what they're drinking, because I relate to that at some level.
That's really important for a winemaker to relate to everyday people. That's huge. Because it means something to us out there to know that you're actually listening, or at least you're trying to touch what we like.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know that people aren't, you know, buying $150 bottles of wine on a regular basis. In Napa, there's this, like, we do have this sort of trend, I think, to be focused on, like, the top, the pinnacle, and think that, that's the penultimate, that's where we all should be headed. And I don't really feel that pressure to, I think that it's good to make wines that satisfy that demand, but that's a pretty small niche, and there's a lot of people going after it. And I think, you know, at Terra Valentine, and honestly, thanks to the Wordles, they really set us on this course, is to always make a great wine at a fair price and over-deliver. And I mean, that's been our business plan since the very beginning, and our wines have always over-delivered, and we hope to keep doing that. I think it's important to over-deliver.
Well, I, as a buyer, hope you continue to over-deliver as much as you possibly can. No, that's a great idea. I mean, that's a great philosophy. Will you continue to be involved with the Napa Valley Vineyards Association?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a, you know, it's an important part of the valley and the network that goes on with through the vintners and their programs. It's a great organization.
Sam, for our listeners to find out about you and to find out about your wine, I could say that now, your wine.
Right, yeah.
Where would they go on the web?
You know, terravalentine.com is a great starting point, and they can always pick up the phone and give me a call, 707-967-8340.
Folks, you can talk to Sam Baxter. How cool is that? I think it is.
Hey, it's what I'm here for. I mean, it's pretty, we're easy, we're accessible, and we're having a lot of fun doing it.
Sam, thanks a lot for taking the time on this really crazy, busy day. I appreciate it. Good seeing you again.
Thanks, Ray. Good to see you. Cheers.
Cheers. Learn more about Sam by visiting terravalentine.com.
Watch for our next program featuring Mitch and Tracy Hawkins of Hawk and Horse Vineyards. Cheers.
Life Between the Vines was produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Original music by Tim Turton. Our intern is Alex McLean. Web design by Jenny Holland. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak. Copyright 2014.